The Legends with 188bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to the Radio City Legends. I'm Steve Hothersall. We're here for the next hour and the men waiting to take your calls over the next 60 minutes are John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Whether it's magnificent Mo that's on your mind or outstanding Umar, give us a call, whatever you want to talk about. 0151 4720 967 4720 967. Good evening to you, gents. You okay?
Hey, Steve, yes.
A couple of sporting stories we'll just quickly get into before we go to the 40. Tony Bellew's fight is off, isn't it, with David Hay? Yeah?
Yeah.
It's going to be postponed till March, which is a bit of a gutter, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for Tony. Like, he's in training kind of thing, but I think he had a fall, Hay, and... I don't know if he's broken.
Bit of arm surgery, I think. He's had that today. So if you've not heard that as yet, it's going to be, what, March, I think, at the earliest, before something can be postponed. Tony's going to join me on the breakfast show on Radio City Talk just after nine on Wednesday. Good. So we'll get the very latest on that one. But you'd be gutted with all the training you put in.
Yeah, absolutely.
To learn that, wouldn't you?
See if he gets another fight.
Yeah.
I think there's been a few names mentioned, whether they just fell in for David Hay at the moment. If he's done all that training, you think he'd want to fight at the end of it.
Yeah, keep yourself.
Yeah.
Tyson Fury said he fancied it. Oh. Would you want to get in the ring with Tyson?
He's so unfit, isn't he? Yeah. He's so unfit, him.
You'd never get to him, would you? He's a big lad now, isn't he? So, Tony, good luck for when it does come around.
Absolutely,
and Tommy Fleetwood.
Brilliant.
Mastering the world of golf at the weekend. The race to Dubai, our own Southport lad, an Everton fan as well.
Brilliant. Really good.
Fantastic.
After his first round as well, he was out of it. It was one over. Rose had a massive lead, and then he just stuck at it. Look, he didn't win the tournament there, but he won the points, and that's a fantastic achievement. Fantastic achievement. I think Rose probably blew it a little bit at the end, but you can't take anything. He's had a fantastic year.
What was the prize money for that, you know?
A lot.
Big Wonga, John. Very big Wonga.
It's not well done. He totally deserves it. Absolutely,
Brilliant.
And another big story in the world of sport, John Aldridge is making his return to the Anfield Turf against German legends Bayern Munich.
Yeah,
what happened last time John Aldridge played a Legends game?
It was it only got 10, 15 minutes, whatever it was.
Here he goes with the excuses.
I managed to score a fantastic 23-incher.
And then you hobbled off, didn't you?
Via work from Robbie Fowler. It was in the Liverpool family. Robbie Fowler to Stevie G, who just slid there as a tapping. It was just nice, you know.
Yeah.
And it was nice for me because, obviously, I thought I'd never get to play at Anfield in front of the Cup. And me kids were there, two kids with me wife and me three grandchildren were there. So it was really special. Mm-hmm. But to get asked again, and just to be involved, because it was a fantastic day. And Liverpool, they raised 1.1 million for the local charities.
Well, the LFC Foundation.
The foundation.
It's brilliant work, doesn't it?
Brilliant, fantastic, tremendous. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it. You know, like Xabi Alonso, who I got to know when he was here, because the links with San Sebastian, Real Sociedad, and Dirk Kuyt, they're coming over. They're playing along with some other big names. So
EK's not playing, is he?
That might have been his last one, I think.
Right.
I don't know. Because when he came on, we were 4-0 up or something like that, and he got to 4-3. When he went full back, he said it wasn't his fault, but it's I don't know. It doesn't look very good, you know. So I'm not too sure whether Alan's involved.
It got horribly wrong, didn't it? In terms of the great meetings between Liverpool and Bayern Munich, Howie Gayle?
Yes,
maybe Howie might get a go. Would you fancy playing an old Bayern Munich team, Sharpie?
No,
it would be your old team in that massive big game.
We
that
played
was
them,
the 3-1 was it? Or something,
yeah, 3-1 at Goodison.
Anyone in that team who might crop up?
Matthias.
That's dumb. I couldn't think of his name.
Matthias.
Yeah, he'd probably play, I've not seen their team, but Rudy Voller.
Not seen them all. Marcus Babbel played for both, didn't he?
Yeah.
There you go.
Stefan Kuntz.
Yeah, good player. They've all been there.
I've got a shirt. I've got a shirt. We beat
what
Germany.
From?
Ireland beat Germany.
What did you see? Just
we went up to Germany to play them in a a friendly before the World Cup in 94, and we beat them 2-0 in Germany, away, Republic of Ireland. Great result. But I didn't get on. I didn't get on the pitch, and I was absolutely gutted. So I'm walking off the pitch, and this German player comes over. Swap shirts. I went, yeah, no problem. There you go, mate. There you go. And I got his shirt, and I got in the dressing room, sat down. I was a bit peeved off, really, because I didn't get 5 or 10 minutes. And I looked at the shirt. It said, K-U-N-T-Z. And I said to Jack Charlton, look whose shirt I got, Jack. I can't tell you what else I said after that, by the way. But he was a great player. He turned out to be a fabulous player.
Brilliant. Not sure he's playing at Anfield. Right, let's have a look back at the weekend's action. Everton 2-2 with Crystal Palace. And Umar Niass is the star of the show yet again. He's maybe an unlikely hero this season.
I said before, I'll be honest, I didn't fancy us down there. Okay, they're bottom of the league, but it's always a tough place to go. And I thought, to take a point out of that, you'd have said, you'd have had that before the game. Going behind, you go away from home, you say, right, okay, make it difficult. They score within the first minute, and you're thinking you've got a mountain to climb. Mm. But all credit to them, they got back. But Niass, won the penalty and took his second goal very well when put through by Sigurdsson. So, listen, David Unsworth will be pleased with 4 points out of six, being one away. The next few games are going to be crucial, whether that's under the new manager or not, we'll just have to wait and see. Nothing's coming out of Watford at the moment, but that looks as if he's the one they want.
Seems to be a little bit of focus on how Umar Niass won the penalty. Does it matter for you?
Well, listen to what Scott Dan said. He said something which, although he said he died kind of thing, but he said something in his quote which he said he might have brushed against. So if he's brushed against him, you're taught in football to go down if you go across somebody in the box.
Modern day football.
Yeah. So you're talking connection. Yeah. Here's one of the headlines on the papers. Let me show you this. Everton won't go down, but I will. And a picture of Umar Niass there. And some focus inside basically saying, well, actually, Roy Hodgson criticising Everton for playing like an Italian team from the 1990 or 1991 era.
Roy Hodgson?
Yeah.
Well, I remember when Roy was in charge just before he got the sack at Everton, when we got beat 2-0. I'll tell you what, that was as bad as I've seen Liverpool play. We didn't get out of our half. It was so lethargic. We were well beaten by Everton 2-0. So you should remember them sort of games when he was Liverpool manager as well.
Right, let's chivvy on and get a caller on straight away. We'll talk a little bit more about Liverpool in depth. Perhaps with our first caller, it's Radio City Legends with 188bet. And first up this evening, talk about Liverpool, is Steve in Walton. Evening, Steve.
Hi, guys. You're all right.
Hello, Steve.
I've been on a few times and I've spoken about Liverpool, but I thought I'd get on and have a little word about Everton. As a Liverpool fan, I took a lot of stick off Everton at the start of the season, saying they're going to do this and going to do that and spend more money than ever this season. And they seem to be involved in a little relegation scrap, even with all their money that they've supposedly spent. They're getting investigated by Panorama. He might get points deducted. I think it's hilarious, mate. I've never laughed so much in my life. And the biggest laugh was, you think he can get Diego Simeone?
have your mates been having a go at you? Big style, Steve.
Oh, mate, I tell you, at the start of the season, he said, we're going to get Champions League football. Oh, God, it's so funny.
Sharpie, have you got anything to say in response to Steve's criticism of Everton? No. Steve, you're a Liverpool fan, aren't you?
I am, but I mean, come on.
No. Don't be stabbing Sharpie anymore. Come on, have a chat with Aldo about
that. Yeah, Steve, yeah. Sharpie's had he's got enough to put up with, the way the last few weeks. He's held it well.
I've got a point, though. Come on, Sharp. Come on, I mean, putting down Diego Simeone as your number one target. I mean, come on.
How do you know that?
Well, that's what's come out in the papers saying.
Do you believe everything you read in the papers?
Well, apparently it could come from your owner's mouth.
No, who said that? I don't think you're reading the papers.
I think he was quoted saying that's his number one target.
I'm not sure.
One thing I would say, whether Simeone would come or not, I think, if you've got a chairman who's got money or whatever, you've got to have a look right across, the continent to see who's best situated. And you've got to try and out. You've got to try and get the best, or who you think's the best, whether it's Simeone or Ancelotti or whatever. You've got to be seen it to be in that market. You know, whether you get them or not, it's a different matter. You know, but for me, you know, if Liverpool, you'd expect us to do. Everton, he's trying to take them to place. It's not worked up to now, as you say, Steve. But certainly, you've got to say the right things and try to be seen to do the right things. And Simeone, as a manager, you know, most people who haven't got a manager would have him, wouldn't he?
I think you should go for the best sort of manager, shouldn't you? Everton going for Marco Silva, another manager who a lot of clubs would want.
Who'd you go for? There's nothing. There's nobody out there.
Right.
There's nobody out there. So
it's always a massive risk as well.
I'm looking at the West Brom job now. Look at West Brom. They've got rid of Pulis.
Has he gone?
Yeah. So who are they going to get? Are they going to get Allardyce? Well, Pardew?
Caddy Megson, he will take him down. Well, him, money is useless. You know, whoever's on the roundabout there, you know what I mean, who's been on the roundabout, you know, they get off at one stop and then they get back on the roundabout. Tony Pulis will pop up at Stoke again or somewhere else or Palace.
Pardew said he was disappointed he would have taken the West Ham job. Yeah. And then they gave it to Moyes. But then you look at this West Brom job now, where do they go? Where do they look? Silva go to Evan, where do they go? It's hard. It's getting harder and harder. Sometimes you have to take a chance and say, give your faith in him and say, let's see how he goes. But
I think Silva's probably your best shot. If I'm being honest, I think he's the best around that you've probably got a chance to get an hold of.
Who's that?
Silva.
Marco Silva, yeah.
But see, the thing is...
He's only been in the game
exactly.
A short time. You
he's
don't know. He's done very
games.
Well.
He's
very well, don't get me wrong.
At Watford.
Yeah.
Job to them, Sharp.
I don't know.
That's what he's saying. That's what Sharpie's saying, you know, at the end of the day. Because you don't want to be in these situations, you know, because it is. You know, you don't see young managers, or if you do, they're very far and few between. And you can't really be seen by the supporters to go and take a chance when you're in this situation on someone who's a novice, you know, coming through. And he might be brilliant. It's you know, that's why they go for the old trusted cart horses of the world.
You see, although you go out of the Premier League and you go in and say, right, okay, he's doing well in the Championship, and you're thinking, Mick McCarthy's at Ipswich.
Yeah.
Coleman's just taken over at Sunderland.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, the boys, Cottrell's at Birmingham. And you think, is there anything down below that you would take and have a chance on that?
No.
I don't think there's... I think it's been there's a dearth of managers at this moment in time.
Well, John, you said there's... There's a merry-go-round. But look
it
at
is.
The five that have been sacked this season. So Pulis, obviously Bilic at West Ham, Koeman at Everton, De Boer at Crystal Palace and Shakespeare at Leicester. Will any of them get reinvested into other clubs in the Premier
League? Shakespeare won't get a Premier League.
Right.
Will the
others?
He might get a Championship side. They've been...
Pulis will.
Pulis has been on the merry-go-round for 20 years, you know, the Big Dipper, whatever you want to call it, you know. You know, and you've got, Warnock, he's another one. Yeah, you talk about, these have been on it. And these are the ones who, you know, they've not fitted the bill, they've had a nightmare in certain places, and they've not been successful, and they've been paid up. It's the only job in the world to be a success, to be crap and get paid up and then get on the merry-go-round and 6 weeks, 6 months down the line, jump back on and get another shed load of money. It's crazy.
Right, so there aren't many choices in the Premier League that you'd want to pick from. Any in the Championship?
No, I don't think there's anything about.
No? Honestly. Neil Warnock, top of the Championship?
Neil Warnock.
Who else? Go on, Steve, quickly.
Just, I mean, obviously, I think from Everton's perspective, I think you just need maybe a short-term, possibly, maybe on a six-month contract that can just get them out the relegation.
But then what happens then, as I said to you before, what happens then if you come January when you need to buy... And you've got somebody who's only on a short contract. Are you going to trust him to buy players in January, knowing full well that he's going to go in June? So it's a difficult situation. So they need to, I'm just surprised that they haven't done it as of he's now in place this minute. In
right,
time.
But you want Marco Silva?
No, I want the best one who's available.
Well, who is that?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
The paper today say Lincoln with Silva, obviously they're saying Everton would give him 10 million, but Watford want 15. Again, it's the papers. Whether it's true or not, we don't know. But certainly if they want 15 million, you give them 15 million. And the present market, you know, he's more needed than any player.
Right.
But what happens then, John? I was trying to get to the bottom of this today. So what happens if Silva wants to come? Why do we have to pay? I'm just saying this. So if he resigns, can he resign and just walk into Everton?
Has he broken Premier League rules if he does that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've been. Yeah. So Dave's saying he'll get put on gardening leave if that's the case. So there's an employment role there, isn't there? So he can't just walk out. But let's face it, Watford have been pretty horrible to all their previous managers, haven't they? They've gone through seven quickly.
You're spot on.
So actually, they deserve a bit of
what comes around goes around. Yeah, after that,
well, they've said, you know, that I think he's only a 2-year contract, isn't he? I think he's a. But let's wait and see what happens.
All right.
Let's wait and see what happens.
Give us a shout on the Radio City Legends if you've got an opinion on the next Everton manager. David Unsworth, Marco Silva, whatever you think. Umani Ass, how good was he at the weekend? Give us a shout. Whatever you want to talk about. 0151 4720 967. John wants to talk about Mo Salah. I'm breaking all the records at the moment. So any Reds out there, 4720967. I think he broke Robbie's record at the weekend. It's the Radio City Legends with 188bet.
The Legends with 188bet. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Please get involved for the next 40 minutes. I'm Steve Hothersall, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. It's the Radio City Legends with 188bet. We're going to get to another caller in just a moment. Just something else that's sort of a pressing matter perhaps of the day. Maybe people thought they'd misread it. You go from being a hero as the Welsh manager to then taking the job of the team that are bottom in the championship with 11 points and currently with one win. So explain to me, John Aldridge or Graham Sharp, why Chris Coleman thinks it's right to go to Sunderland.
I don't know. To be fair, he's done a great job with Wales, Chris, hasn't he? You know, you've got to give credit where it's due first and foremost. Maybe he wants the day-to-day involvement.
West Brom would have had him, wouldn't they?
Well, you don't know.
Do would have thought
Watford might be looking for a new manager as well. I'm telling you.
Because of what he's done there. But it is, it's a strange one, is it? He knows, obviously, Sunderland's a big club, you know, they get big crowds, they've got a lovely stadium, it's got everything in place, but they've got no money.
No.
That's what we were just talking about.
But his pay packet will be big. That'll be one influence, of course, for most managers.
They have got no money. They have all sorts of financial problems, wanting to sell the club, everything else. He was asked today in his press conference, are you going to spend in January? And he went, no, we'll have to generate our own funds. Yeah. But who's going to pay for their players? They're bottom of the league. So he's not going to get a lot of money in for the players he sells and moves out. So I think it's a really strange decision. You look at all the people who have been offered that job and turned it down. No money.
Yeah. The one thing you have to say, you're looking at the squad of players they've got there, they shouldn't be in that position. Mm-hmm. Whatever's gone on there in the past, you know, he might be able to ignite them and regel them in many, many ways and get them at least halfway up the league, because there's no way with the players they've got, they shouldn't be in that situation.
It's a tough league, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, the subject going on to Liverpool game. In the grey when you come in 3-0 and slaughter the referee, because he was shocking. Absolute Mingsville. His name's Jones. He's from Chester, I believe. Is it Manchester or Winchester? Because he was minging to Liverpool. Unbelievable. Just inept. Totally inept. We won 3-0. Hey, we didn't need him. And I could have refereed the game. But he was... God, we always, and the two linesmen done really well in the game. I'm watching them. Their decisions were spot on all the way through. Really good. But now, crap, I hope we're going to have him soon.
Mr. Jones got the thumbs down from Aldo.
If you listen, mate, I thought you did all right.
Let's get back to the phone lines on the Radio City Legends. Next up to talk about Everton, Lee. Evening, Lee.
Evening.
Hi, Lee.
You all right?
Hello, Lee.
I'm just... wallowing in self-pity, to be totally honest with you. It's the whole situation, to be totally honest with you, is just... How can I put it? Soul-destroying. Because not only has Moshiri come out and to the press and said, oh, Diego Simeone's my main target, and then in the next breath, I've got a word with Sam Allardyce. Do yourself a favour, mate. Keep it in-house. Stop giving the media ammo to fire at us, because we already look stupid. And especially to the likes of your red friends sat next to you. They're laughing at us, and it's not right. And I've seen on the news before, I think, I can't remember his name though, to be honest with you, the fella that got sacked a couple of seasons ago by Man U for Mourinho to take over from.
What Van Gaal, yeah.
Van Gaal, yeah.
I've seen that on the news before, that we're possibly getting him, but, I mean, we go for him. All right, fair enough, at least we've got a manager. What's your take on that?
But, you know, can I just say something? Do you know what you're just talking about, the chairman actually coming out and saying that? Is that genuine, or is that, again, is just the papers surmising it?
Well, you don't know, do you? But it wouldn't surprise me, to be fair, because he came out and said we had a lot of money to spend as well, and we sort of did. I know we only spent pretty much what we sold, but did spend a lot of money. So, it's, I don't know, keep cards close to chest, so to sort of...
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah, absolutely, yeah, spot on. You know, we had the same problem with Hicks and Gillette, if you remember.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, all the dirty washing was out on the line, and everyone got to know it, and it come back at us. You're right, it should be kept in house.
Yeah, I think, listen, I know the Jim White situation and talking to it hasn't done him any favours, but sometimes, you know, he's coming out, we don't know the situation with Allardyce and what happened. They've obviously talked about him, kind of, or talked with him. You know, he's the one that's maybe come out and said at the end, well, this is what's happened. So sometimes what you're getting in the papers, they're just guessing as well. They're guessing it. So I agree with what you're saying, but sometimes what I said to the first caller, what you read in the papers, I'd take it with a pinch of salt until it's actually done. But the only thing I would say to you is, I was hoping and wishing it had been done by now. I think it's been on too long.
You're not the only one.
Yeah, I think it's gone on too long. So, you know, by the looks of things now, if we're led to believe it, we are believing the papers, it's silver or nothing. You know, so if it doesn't happen with silver, then where do they go?
But then again, Silver's had 7 teams in 3 seasons.
Mm.
That's a lot of teams in a short period of time. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, that people want him or he's leaving for whatever reasons or whatever, but to me that doesn't sound right. And
I
personally, obviously, just speaking as a fan, I don't want someone that's just going to, at the drop of a hat, decide to change his mind and go to the likes of what people perceive to be a better team.
That's a really, really good point. But here's one for you then. Who would you like, or who would you have?
Well, I was sort of salivating at the thought of Diego Simeone, to be totally honest with you, but that's never going to happen, is it?
But who, as I said, we just said before, who is there? If this doesn't work and they don't get silver, where do they turn to next?
I don't know, but that's what I've been trying. The point I've been trying to make to a lot of my mates. You know, saying stuff like that, and then saying, "Oh, maybe if he has said it, then obviously not keeping his cards close to his chest, and then going to the likes of Silver and going, hey, sorry, mate, you're not my first choice, but you know, do you fancy the job? You'd tell him where to get off, wouldn't you?"
Yeah, it's just an interesting one now. You look at Silver's comments after the game and before the game at the weekend, and he was playing it really guarded as well, but. To me, he looked as if he thought, this has been spoken about, this has been talked about, I want to go there. You know, the press were trying to goad him into a response, but he kind of kept it close to his chest. But I just think that they need to do it really quickly. I'm just thinking, so we moved on from the weekend. Their game was yesterday, I think it was. You would think that they'd already spoken to him and they'd have it done Wednesday by latest if they were going to go down that road.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's the other thing as well. Obviously, the 11 players that are going to be on the pitch trying to win us games are possibly trying to draw. Mm. You know, it's week in, week out, it's the same old stuff. And I'm thinking, if any manager comes in, regardless of how world-class this manager is, are they going to be able to do anything that team to make them better?
Spot on.
We haven't got a striker. We can't score. We've got a very poor defence. Mm. And that's me being PC, you know what I mean?
Spot on, you're right. There's no guarantee that whoever's in charge is going to get a turn out of this group of players. At the beginning of the season, you would have looked at the squad and said, yeah, okay, Sigurdsson's got a good reputation, Klaassen's at Ajax, you know, Pickford's up and coming, Keane's not bad. So when they all came in the summer, that's where the hope and the optimism came from. They're not bad, this is a good squad. But unfortunately, the squad is so unbalanced, it's frightening. We've got one we've got one left back. We've got three centre-backs who are Ashley Williams and Jags, who are the other side of 30. We've got Leighton Baines, the other side of 30. We've got no cover there. We let a striker go. We bring Nias back from the wild, if you like. And you just look at it and you think, who's going to change that group of players? He's going to have to work till January, and then hopefully, I mean, no, it's difficult in January to bring players in, to bring somebody else into some replacements or help for him. But at the moment, the team, you'd have to say, is underperforming.
Lee, what did you think of Saturday's performance?
I thought it was awful, to be honest with you. The second half was okay, but you don't want to be playing games half a game at a time. You want to go out guns blazing, score a couple of goals, and then I don't know, maybe do what Moyes used to do and just defend for a little bit.
Lee, you're spot on. Crystal Palace away, you know it's going to be a tough game. What do you see in the dressing room? Right, 20 minutes here. We know how noisy this place is as well. Don't concede. Yeah. Don't give them any hope or anything or any chances. What do we do? Concede in the first minute. So you're facing an uphill battle. So they did well to get back into it. But then they go
on the back foot all the time.
Yeah.
It's the same every game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Top points.
I'd like to have something positive to say, to be honest with you fellas, but I genuinely have.
Say something about Umar Nias. What are you thinking about him at the moment?
He's filled a gap, hasn't he? He's obviously not the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
I mean, hats off to the lad for being so professional, you know, and taking one on the chin. He's obviously laughing at his locker number and Koeman missing out on a locker number now, but it's one of them things, isn't it?
Well, I can sense in your tone, you're a bit depressed, Dave, serious. It's hurting
a
minute. I know, but your passion's coming out, mate, to be fair, and I feel for you, mate, but just keep it in there. You never know, pal, you never know.
The fear I've got, obviously I'm 31 now, I've seen some relegation scraps and this is the worst one I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. If we did, I mean, touch wood, we don't, but if we went down, I fear that we'd be like Sunderland right now.
No, too much on the dark side there, mate.
Yeah.
Tell you what, he's lower than a
he
snake's
is, yeah,
belly,
he's
though,
struggling
isn't
he? Yeah,
how many
is.
Evertonians are like that at the moment? 0151 472 0967, 472 0967. Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. Plenty more information about 188 Bet via our website, radiocity.co.uk. We've got another 20 minutes of your calls. Going to talk Mo Salah next up.
Radio City Talk. The Legends with 188 Bet. Pre-match, in-play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
It's 7:05. It's the Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. I'm Steve Hothersall. Aldo and Sharpie are here for the next 20 minutes. Let's talk Mo Salah for a little while. So Jurgen Klopp saying expects more from him. He scored his 13th and 14th goals in all competitions since signing from Roma. And if he goes at this rate, his tally by the end of the season will be over 40 goals. But but will he go at this rate until the end of the season?
It seems a little bit impossible, doesn't it? But what a bonus to have, you know, as we know, when you've got wide men as a striker. And we haven't got an out-and-out centre-forward, don't forget. You know, to have a winger that can, like we had it with Barnsley, you know, we used to get like 20 a season, whatever it was. But to have in this day and age, to have a player who's scoring that amount of goals is ridiculous. It's fantastic. Yeah, he's not a natural striker, but he keeps on getting in those situations. And if he misses, he keeps on wanting to get in there and get in there. And his pace always gets him in. He's absolutely like lightning. I'd love to see a race between him and Manny who'd win it, because the two of them so fast, and defenders hate pace. You know, you ask any defender what he hates, pace. Genuine, and he's got genuine. He burns pace.
Has he announced himself as the new superstar within the team? Is that what you do as soon as you get to this sort of goal scoring stage?
Superstar? I don't know if he'd become himself a superstar.
They're always searching for one, aren't they? Coutinho sort of holds the mantle at the moment. And
I think he's been our best player. Well, up to now the season, which is the reason why you're probably saying that, Steve. You know, but when you've got him and Manny and Coutinho on the same team, and Firmino actually brings something into it, the way they all play together. You know, going forward, I think that's as good as anyone in the Premiership, Scott. I have to say, you know, City, they've scored more goals than us. They might have a little bit more technique in behind with the creation, and that with De Bruyne in particular. But it's you know, what they've got, Aguero, they've got Jesus, haven't they? They've got Sterling, the type of thing, you know. Yeah. Again, and he scored actually more goals than Aguero, Kane, you know, all these players, Morata, Lukaku and Jesus. He's above all them, and he's a winger. That's phenomenal.
What would he get into any team in the Premier League for you, Sharpie? Mo Salah?
Yeah, most of them. Yeah, but you look at City and you look at the talent they've got. You know, they've got some unbelievable talent there. But no, he's had a fantastic season for Liverpool. You know, considering when he came, people would look at him at Chelsea and think, oh, he didn't really do it at Chelsea. He's not that sort of player. But he's went away, as you said, and he's done well. But no, listen, he's one of that front three of Liverpool, which is on fire. And as John says, pace. You look at the Man City's goal, the first goal, I think it was, the way they just went from back to front, and it's not just one, it goes, there's like six or seven going forward, they all commit themselves. Liverpool are the same, and he's reaping the rewards, because as John says, pace-wise, if they're running at you, you've got no chance.
Let's have a word with a red on the line. It's Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. Dave's next up in the city centre. Dave, he's great to watch, isn't he, at the moment?
Oh, wonderful. But just going to what Aldo was saying there, you mentioned one name that you put him in a Liverpool shirt and we get even better than that, De Bruyne. He's got to be the best midfielder in the country at the moment. And just imagine him in a Liverpool shirt would be immense.
But I think he's the Premiership player of the season up to now.
Oh,
you know,
beating
Harry Kane, probably, if that's the case, you know.
But I wanted to talk about Saturday. One thing I noticed in the Liverpool-Southampton game, and I hope a load of other Reds did too, is looking at Van Dijk. Van Dijk looked like he was a bit more of an imposing centre-half than the ones we've got at the moment. But to me, it proved that it's the system rather than the players which are going to make the big difference to us. Because there were times when we just looked unstoppable against Van Dijk. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about a £70 million price tag or whatever they were talking about in the summer, mm-hmm. I probably expected a little bit much, but a bit more from him. But mm-hmm. defensively, they just didn't look like they were set up to defend Southampton, and I think he can make a difference for us, but whether he's going to make the massive sweeping change that a load of people think that he's going to, I don't think I'm convinced anymore.
I think it's hard for him, you know, Saturday, because of what had gone on before psychologically, you know, all the eyes were on him, and you know, we all know what happened with him in Liverpool in the summer. It was highly noticed all over the place. So, in his mind, it was a tougher game than it should have been because of that. I don't think he played particularly well. You know, and for our second goal, me and Sharpie were talking about it before, he got caught up, you know, massively. But as a centre-half, he's got a massive presence. He's not phased. In both boxes, he's dynamite with his head, but he's a good player. I can't just judge him on that one game where his head's a little bit. I still think if we can get him, hopefully get him. If we can, go and get him, because he's better than what we've got by a mile. You know.
He doesn't
panic, you know, Dave. When balls come in, like, we got a sense of panic with our centre offs, all of them. You know, massive, the lesser of them all, but he gets himself in the position to sort the danger out, and if it needs putting away, you know, you get up the field, but more often than not, he takes a touch because of the way he's been nurtured in Holland as a kid, the way they play. So you know, I would, if it's possible, I would say go and get him.
I think I was wondering the other day as well, like, is he already under immense pressure as a Liverpool player, a City player, a United player, mm-hmm. wherever he ends up, before he's even left Southampton? You know, the talk has been that much about him.
Yeah.
Has he already got something to prove? Yeah,
you're fair comment, that, because, you know, he scrutinised every single game. And since he's come back to Southampton, they defended well. They've only conceded a few games, with the exception of the weekend. But it's due to them, they can't score goals. And that's what's penalising them.
Do you think City's bid for him will intensify with losing John Stones as well for a couple of months?
So the papers say, hey, you don't know. Hey, look, if Man City want a player, and it comes down to the finance, they will get the player. If the player wants to come to Liverpool, then he come to Liverpool. But if he goes to City, then that's it. We're not bothered if money's his goal. Well, that's fine.
It wasn't outstanding, was it, at the weekend?
No, but he wasn't the worst by far. You know, out of all their defenders.
But you don't know what he's like being all season. You know, what's his form been like all season? You know, Southampton fans are the best to tell you that. But again, he goes to Liverpool. He wants to put on a good show.
Yeah.
He's up against a front three that he doesn't come up against a lot. He'll come against maybe Man City, is probably the most like kind of thing. So he won't come up against that every week. You know, so his performances have been more assured, you know, when he's playing against the lesser size teams, if you like. Mm-hmm. But in that system, with those three guys, four guys running at you, It's a hard afternoon.
Yeah.
Many thanks, Dave. Brilliant stuff. Let's move on to our next caller, Radio City Legends. And we've got John, who's an Evertonian in Kirby. Evening, John.
Evening, fellas. How you doing?
Hello, John.
Hi, guys. Sharpie, just a quick couple of questions. I've heard rumours of Silva coming in, but I've also heard things about people saying that he could be like another Martinez. What do you reckon on that?
John, listen, I don't know an awful lot about him. He did really well at Hull in terms of the short spell he had. He nearly saved him from going down, so there was a big change when he went in there and turned things around. I think he took over from Phil Brown, correct me if I'm wrong, but he changed things around quite quickly. I think when you looked at Watford playing yesterday, I thought, wow, I'd have this all day. I'd have this all day long. You know, he looks as if he's invested in players. Decent players. You look at the Brazilian, he won't be there long. So it looks like he's investing players. And he gets a good, how can I say, a good shift out his team. You know, you can see how Cleverley was all over the place under Martinez and Koeman. You know, you wouldn't see that about Tom Cleverley. But playing for Watford and given, you know, the way that he wants to play, Tom Cleverley was a world beater yesterday. And you're thinking, he's getting the best out of these players. So he may well just be given a chance, but and certainly I don't know an awful lot about him. One of the callers came on and said he said too many clubs in too short spell. But, you know, listen, we need somebody in very, very quickly. And if it is him, we've just got to get behind him as soon as we possibly can.
OK, do you think then whoever comes in next will bring back Henry Onyekuru in January?
Well, that's an option they've got. Yeah, that's an option they've got. They've got that option that I think the problem was maybe a work permit, a passport or whatever. I know that, well, according to the papers again, we don't know if it's true or not, but they say he's been linked with Juventus and people like that. So you would like to think that, you know, the new manager is will know of this player, will know about him, will try and get him back in January whenever it's possible. But we just have to wait and see that because we need all the help we can get at this moment in time. It's as simple as that. We need another guy who can score goals. You know, we're relying now heavily on Umar Nias, and as everybody knows, he's a game lad and he's a different class, but he's not what you would call, and this is no disrespect to him whatsoever, top class in terms of like a Lukaku like that will score goals for you every week. So it's a really difficult one. So that one about the boy bringing him back is a possibility.
Do you think Nias and Onyekuru up front would be a good work together?
Well, John, the only thing again is, sorry, you don't know how the new manager's going to play and what system he's going to play. Is he going to play two up front? It's very rarely you see that nowadays, although at times you'd love to see it. So it all depends on, you know, what you want to play, you know, what he wants to play and whether he'd go. And what the new manager coming in has got a big job in his hands. You know, does he fancy the players that Koeman has left him? So you might not fancy half of these players, and then you get another big changeover in personnel. So it's a really, really important decision, the next manager.
Thank you very much indeed, John. Got to move on there. We're going to talk Liverpool now on the Radio City Legends with 188 Bet. It's Jeff in Haydock. Evening to you, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Good evening to you, Graeme, and good evening to you, John. How are you doing?
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah, OK. Yeah, I was on last week, and I just... What do you think about the wages and how do you feel yourself, Thursday, you and Graham? I mean, you played fantastic careers in football and the rewards you got, I dare say, were nowhere near what they're getting now. Mm. What do you think about it? And also, the price of tickets now, I'm 70 years old, by the way. I'm 69 and 70 in March. I've followed Liverpool since I was about 10 or 11. So over half a century. I've been watching Liverpool, and it was, you know, I can't afford to go to game anymore. I just can't afford to go anymore. You know, my wife and I went to a couple of games, and we just couldn't afford it. By the time we paid for the tickets, entrance, and the prices, I think it's disgusting in this area where we all live that the players are getting such mammoth amounts of money. And when we just think to ourselves, my wife and I say, well, we've got two children still at home, by the way, John. What we could do with just 1 week's wages? I mean, it's disgusting. What do you think about it yourself?
It's not good. You know, it's just the way it's gone, the game. You know, and if you don't want a ticket, you know, Liverpool got, I think it's officially 30, just under 30,000 that are desperate for season tickets.
Yes.
So you know, it is a shame. The one thing I think where they've got a little bit of you know manoeuvre is the Anfield Road. I would love when they build the Anfield Road to be made into a family stand.
Oh,
I really would. The extra 6,000 because we don't. Kids, when you look at Anfield, you look at Anfield. There's a very few percentage of kids at Anfield because exactly what Jeff's saying, you know, it's priced out the market. Yeah. And we look at the hospitality side of it, which is massive at Anfield, and that's what will help pay for the main stand within 5 years. It's not nice, you know, it's not nice. So I would really love, you know, to for Liverpool down the road to, even if Coutinho went, you know. And it's all hypothetical. At the end of the season, Liverpool got something like 140 million. If they went, well, we'll spend the 30 million on Anfield Road then on a family stand, the fans will say, all right, spend the rest on the football. All right, as long as it's a family stand. Yes, there's 6,000. The kids can come with the dads and it's priced well. I'd love that.
Well, John, it's quite ironic that Jeff's rung up about this because Liverpool have just put something on their website right now. It says, Fans Forum gets off to a positive start. Liverpool have to look into ways of allowing young people to sit together at Anfield on match days at the request of the club's new ticket availability forum. Two ideas emerged from the discussion. The first was create a seated area where children can congregate with parents and guardians seated around them. The second was to designate a section in the COP where young adults, such as those from the Spahn COP 1906, want to drive atmosphere and they can sit together as well.
Bring back the boys' pen.
John.
Bring back the boys' pen where I used to go as a kid. It was brilliant.
John. Can you hear me, John?
Yeah, I can.
I was going to say, mention the boys' pen. I mean, how many times did you bunk off the boys' pen and go in the middle of the cop?
No, they used to be on the top, and the cop used to try and get them down, and the little buggers wouldn't get down. It was hilarious. You were one of them. I didn't. I was always tempted to do it, but never actually did it. But the lads, they used to have some great fun with the police. They used to, you know, wind the police up. The police couldn't get up there to get them down. And
John.
Then they'd get down the cop a bit further. Then they'd jump in and they couldn't get them in the cop because there was too many in there.
John, do you remember the name, what the cop whites gave to the cop, or the big sergeants who used to patrol the cop?
Oh, Blackbeard. Blackbeard. What?
The Walrus.
Oh, but we used to call him Blackbeard, didn't we? Yeah.
They didn't
mess with him, by the way.
The boys' pen would be a great idea. The price of tickets is up. The price of wages up. Seeing tickets too expensive, and like you took, we got reprimanded for tapping up Virgil and
Van Dijk.
Yeah, and I think every time there's an international. In the papers the next day, there's something about Coutinho or, you know, another Liverpool player. And I think that's a form of tapping up myself. And that's another...
It's been going on for donkey's years, and it'll keep on going on, Jeff. There's nothing you can do about it.
Do you remember your first time you went to the football match at Anfield, or the first floodlit game you went to? The first floodlit game I went to was at Goodison Park. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic. The colour, the green of the grass, the brightness of the lights... And even St John made his debut for Liverpool, and I think it was the Lancashire floodlit cup, and he scored a hat-trick that night. And we still got beat 4 today by Evan.
Jeff, go on, make your point quickly, go on.
The point is, I think it's too expensive for the family to go to the game, and I'd love to be able to take my lads to the game.
Yeah, Jeff.
And your idea of a family stand would be fantastic, John.
Top man.
All of us, Jeff. Take care, mate.
Evan have got it at family enclosure. They've got it there.
Always have.
Great. And I think it's important, as you said, that the young kids have the opportunity, because that's where your next generation is. The young kids coming through.
Absolutely.
So you can't just not have it for them, so it's going to be there for them.
Well, right. You go to Goodison Park, and there's a lot more kids at Goodison Park, you know, That's where it is.
Right, let's move on. Next call, Everton fan Phil. Sorry to keep you waiting, Phil. Jeff was reminiscing on the green grass of Everton and the lovely floodlights. Are you all right, Phil?
Yeah, I'm all right. I haven't fell asleep. a couple of points. That's Steve from Vazakli. He's probably one of them season ticket holders in the local pub. I'd have been coming on singing about Salah if I'd have been him. And as for the relegation battle, there were nowhere near a relegation battle. 3 points will put you 3 places up the league.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wanted to come on. And you as well, John.
Mm-hmm.
With Everton saying, well, let's have a little punt at Chris Coleman. Why have we got to go and pay big money? I mean, I wanted Koeman, and it failed.
Mm-hmm.
I paid compensation for him. and give him money, big wages. We're going to do the same with Marco Silva by the likes of it. Mm. Why didn't we just say to Coleman, here's a two-year contract, see where you go with that, and you're not throwing massive money at him?
I said that before. I think Coleman's jumped in too quickly at Sunderland. I think he should have waited, because the West Brom's job's available now. The Watford job might be available if Silva goes. So I think his own decision was too quick for me. To the Everton job, why not?
There's worse people out there, isn't he, really, to be fair?
I'm just trying to think. His managerial career before Wales was what? It was Fulham, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was Fulham, yeah. Listen, it's good point, because we're rattling our brains here thinking who can you get? And there's not an awful lot of people about.
No.
There's not.
I personally, like I said to you the other week, I'd have took Big Sam till the end of the season. Everyone would still laugh about it.
I think you might have been in the minority there. I don't think there was a big I am.
I am, but equally, Unsworth, with the greatest respect in the world, you know, it's every game. If he gets a result, he gets another week. We need to tie it up next couple of weeks and stop banding names out.
Yeah, we need it done. We need it done now. It's as simple as that. We need it done now.
I thought we'd do it when the internationals were on.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Get them training, get them knowing the new manager, whoever it may be.
Good stuff, Phil. Thank you very much indeed. Phone line's a little bit croaky there, but thank you for your thoughts. Let's have a look at the games that are coming up. European action this week probably matters a lot more to Liverpool than Everton now, doesn't it?
Yeah, Everton's, unfortunately for the club, they're out. But yeah, it's we all Seville won, don't we? Really, because of the final in Basel, where the second half we didn't turn up. And I think Moreno, in particular, the lights will be on him because of he's going back to his old stamping ground, and they'll pinpoint him again, as they did in the final. Will he stand up and be counted? Let's hope so. I'm not sure the way how Sevilla will approach the game. I think they'll have seen the game at Maribor and see us thump them. Okay, they weren't the best, but we still thumped them with the way the pace of the team worked out. So I don't expect them to come out and really have a go at us. I think they'll set up like on the break, because a draw is a decent result for them. But we need to really, a win would be a fantastic result. And then the last game is just neither here nor there. So I think it'd be a really good game, but I don't think they're going to come out flying from all angles. They'll leave themselves exposed at the back. They'll be a little bit cautious of the pace of the team, like we've been talking in today's programme.
Do you expect much of a difference to the lineup for Liverpool?
Not much. No, Matip, it depends what Matip's injury was. Did you find out?
I don't think he's gone, has he?
Oh, is he not? No. Well, it'll be. I think Gomez will come in. He seems to be, you know, rotating Gomez with Trent, who I thought Trent was brilliant on Monday at right back. He stick with Moreno because you're going back to his same side. Then what will he do? Will he bring Shannon Henderson probably in midfield? And then you've got your four lads up top, which you Coutinho, Salah will play, Mane will play. Will he play Firmino or bring Sturridge in? I don't know. But he's got loads of options now with Lallana coming back, who's not quite right yet, obviously, and Chamberlain in there, who's done well when he came on the weekend again. So he's got a lot of options going forward.
And for Everton, of course, the eyes are more on next weekend than this Thursday.
Yeah, I would say. Well, he'll change it again. I'd imagine if David Andrews is still in charge, he'll change the team. For the game again at Atalanta, should be a good. They're bringing thousands over, by the way.
Oh, dear.
They're bringing thousands over.
What sort of allocation did they get?
Well, they only got about 2,000, but I think they're bringing something like 10,000. Yeah, it's mental. And I think they've been trying to buy tickets in the home end and all.
Boys, got to shut it off there. Thank you very much indeed. Aldo Sharpie, see you again on Thursday. The Radio City Legends returns then.
Radio City Talk. The Legends with 188 Bets. Pre-match, in play, bet involved. Please gamble responsibly.